Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7, Between the Lines, and we are getting ready to start the book of Jeremiah, and we just finished Isaiah, which is an amazing book, and Jeremiah and Isaiah are so close that when I think of things and remember things from the Bible, sometimes have difficulty remembering whether they come from Isaiah or Jeremiah. Cover a lot of the same content, all the way from the times of Jeremiah right through the end times and the tribulation, lots of amazing things. But there's one interesting thing about Jeremiah. The oldest reference to mankind is in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 3. And so I like to say that Jeremiah is the beginning of the Bible. You should read that one, where it does an account of the first flood, which wiped out mankind, and God had put the sun out. And from there, you need to go into Genesis, realizing this is the second time this world has been here. Jeremiah is a pretty amazing prophet. The Levites of his day wanted him dead. I mean, similar to Isaiah, don't come around here talking like that.
Mm-hmm. You're cramping our style.
Yeah, the religious gurus of the day didn't want to hear from God. We're just going to jump right in here. And I tell you what, there's a lot of prophecies of America in Jeremiah. We're going to see those here shortly. Chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. And there's reference to the carrying away into Babylon. All these prophets give you a time period reference by who was sitting on the thrones of Israel and Judah. And now they're adding in the fact that there's a major time period reference of that day we were carried away to Babylon. God is saying, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's a very, very powerful verse that I quote all the time. He says, before I placed you in the womb, I knew you. You came from God's kingdom. You came from heaven as a perfect spirit. Yeah, a lot of the different trans, the older translations calls God the God of the spirits. It's a spirit realm. Mm-hmm. We're perfect, but he placed you here to be tested in a body, and a veil of innocence was placed on you when you came out. You forgot where you came from. You forgot all the knowledge of all creation that you already had, and it's up to you to come through this veil of innocence and find God and serve him with all your heart, because you were created for one purpose, to serve the Almighty God who made you. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Who am I to answer the Almighty God? He's saying, like a child, a gnat on the back of a flea. You know, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Reminds me of Moses. I can't go, I can't talk. Mm-hmm. God says, hush up, you go, and you shall not function as a child. I will be with you. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Oh, man. Levites aren't going to like him very much.
Upset the apple cart.
Yes. Remember Isaiah, go. Yeah. Be quiet.
Yeah.
Don't say those things here.
Stop saying that.
Every time you talk, bad things happen. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Not just a prophet. He's sent out there to try to fix things. Mm-hmm. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north, a boiling pot. And the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And that is prophecies of the Antichrist coming out of the north with his armies, and he will surround Jerusalem in the end days. It's Jeremiah going right off the bat. And God often says to these prophets, what seest thou? And when he says that, it's kind of odd, because then the prophet describes what he sees. But I think at the time when God says, what seest thou? The prophet is able to look into the other dimensions of this life, which we have talked about many times, and found out that there are 10 dimensions in this life. A monk in the 12th century, by reading the original transcripts of Genesis for years, came to the conclusion there are 10 dimensions of life. Adam and Eve saw those dimensions. All sorts of other beings in the garden in the other dimensions. And when they sinned, that mind's eye was taken away, and they could no longer see, but in the three dimensions that we see now. And curious enough, modern science in the last 20 years, using the super collider and all of the mathematics that I cannot even begin to imagine how to calculate, they have come to the conclusion there are at least 10 dimensions in this life. Three that we can see, time, and six or seven more that we cannot see, but they know they are there now. So interesting enough, the Bible and science go hand in hand. And if you understand Jeremiah 3, we're almost going to get there maybe today, about the first flood. This is the second time mankind has been here. All those fossils are millions of years old. Jeremiah says, God in his wrath put out the sun and flooded the earth. And God says, I know one day, and a day to the Lord is for 1,000 years, the Bible says. He says, I know one day, many, many, many of my days. So tens of thousands, possibly millions of years went by. He said, my wrath will subside and I will begin again. And then you turn to Genesis and it says, let there be light for at least the second time. The Bible and science go hand in hand. Those fossils are millions of years old. They were part of the first age of Earth, the first age of mankind. Yes, the Adamic line has been here 8,000 or 9,000 years. And if you understand that, science and the Bible go hand in hand. And so many people would lose so much doubt if they could just understand the totality of this Bible and the fact that there was the Earth, the same Earth, flooded for millions of years possibly, and then God began again. It would quell so much disbelief. All right, so we have the prophecy there of the Antichrist coming against Jerusalem. Let's begin in 16. And I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I commanded thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. God's basically just told Jeremiah, he has placed his armor on him. He calls him a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls. And he says, you will go anywhere I send you, and not a single person will be able to harm you. And who does he say is going to want to harm him? Mm-hmm. Kings of Judah, the princes thereof, the priests thereof, and the people of the land. Pretty much going to be hated of everyone, similar to Isaiah. But they take it one step further with Jeremiah. They want him dead.
Oh, yeah.
Had some contracts out on him.
Because he's come... I was just going to say he's just come to buck the status quo.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, God just said, I'm sending out you to whack him with a stick.
Yep.
And you're wearing this armor.
Don't
have
run.
No fear.
Yeah, if you whack him, don't run.
That's it.
Just watch.
Yeah. Chapter 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, remember thee, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. God says, go tell them, I remember the love that I had for you back when you followed me. Christian, God wants to spread his love and his blessings upon you, and all he wants is for you to follow him. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. When you're following me, I will put a hedge around you, he's saying, and nothing will harm you, Christian. Called talking about Israel here, but it's there's nothing in the Old Testament that's not applicable to your Christian walk. Don't let anyone tell you the Old Testament is not applicable to your Christian walk, because it is. If you listen to us, Jonathan and I, here on Between the Lines, the analogies are, I mean, you remember the other day when God was talking about liberals and he called them by the name?
Yeah, liberals do liberal things.
Full of toxic... Lies, yes. I mean, it applies to what we see on TV today. Okay, verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? So, go ask them, what did I do wrong? I mean, this is God saying this. Mm-hmm. Go ask these guys that I created that used to follow me, what did I do wrong? Why don't you follow me anymore? Why are you going after vain, trivial things and placing your trust in worldly things instead of me? What did I do, God's saying? That's a silly question, I think, but he has his reasons, and it's going to, because he wants an answer. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt and led us through the wilderness, through the lands of deserts and the pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. All right, that there, from 6 to 9, he basically says, they had no answer other than, they did not know their history anymore. They did not know God anymore. They did not know God's law anymore, because the generations had failed the next generation. They had not taught their children who God was. They did not teach their children what those pillars meant that God had them building all over the place. Build a pillar here that commemorates us crossing the Red Sea. Build a pillar here that commemorates this battle where God wiped them out for you. Those things were meant as conversation pieces. Father, what is that pillar all about? Oh, I'm glad you asked, my son. I'm going to tell you about the Almighty God today.
And keep the heritage alive.
Yes, the heritage. Right? Yes, the heritage and knowledge of God. Christian, do you instruct your children? Don't leave it up to parochial school because they will fail you. Don't leave it up to the Christian Academy on the corner. They will fail you. I did that. I went down that road. And I just had it in my mind that they were teaching my daughter everything that I would have been teaching her. No, nothing. They were teaching her stale religion that had no foundation. It had no history. It was just things that you're supposed to hear and rules that you're supposed to follow. There was no joy in it. There was no excitement in it. Now, if you listen to Jonathan and I here on Between the Lines, man, we have a good time in here because this is a fascinating book. It's not a solemn read. If you can't get laughter out of this book, you can't get tears out of this book, you're not reading it right. So don't leave it up to someone else, Christian. You got to instruct your children. Because here's God saying, the generations have forgotten me. That's why. Nothing I done wrong. That's the question that he asked. God said, what did I do wrong? Why don't you follow me with all your heart? And the answer was, we don't even know you. Because our fathers forgot to tell us who you were. Verse 10, for pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there is such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. God says, they have abandoned me for something that doesn't even bless them or help them in any way. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And we talk about the Ten Commandments a lot here, and that was not the first covenant. The first covenant was given to Abraham, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. God gave the first, God gave the Ten Commandments in the Levitical law, which was a punishment meant for the Israelites to suffer under the judicial legislation of the law, the bondage of the law, because they refused to the simplicity of the first covenant. But the moral portion of the Levitical law, the Ten Commandments, is outstanding guidance for anyone in this world, whatever religion you might want to be involved with, it would still be excellent guidance. And there is one commandment that God doesn't seem to overlook if you transgressed. I mean, David went right down the list, starting with number 2, tried to check them all off, but he never transgressed against number 1. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's what he's saying there right now in verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them cisterns, broken cisterns, and can hold no water. They have made other gods to replace me who are not gods. False gods. And we've discussed that also. That can be a deity from the ancient world, or it can be a fancy sports car, Christian. You got to be very careful what you worship in this life. Verse 14, is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? Is he a servant? No, he was my children. Is he a homeborn slave? No, they were my children. I made them. So why has he been robbed? My children should not be robbed, God says. I will bless you if you follow after me. And there is the answer, because they don't follow after him anymore. They don't even know him. The young lions roared upon him and yelled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Yes, because they failed to follow God with all their heart. And the reference to young lions are young nations, not these big world powers. Even the smallest of nations are beating up on the nation of Israel because they have abandoned God and have none of his protections, Christian. If you walk out ahead of God, that little force field that surrounds you and him when you're walking together, you penetrate that, get a little too far ahead of him, that force field's not there. The blessings are not there. Verse 16, also the children of Nob and the Tephanes have broken the crown of thy head. That's like that's like an analogy to even those guys were able to thump on you. Mm-hmm. And those are like the high school weaklings. You know, everybody beats up on them, and they were able to come and beat up on you. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself? Is it not your own fault, Israel, Christian, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? To drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria? To drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Now therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. And fear of the Lord is the first step toward the Lord. Oh, why should we fear God? He's wonderful, right? If you don't fear the wrath of God, why would you follow his laws and his regulations? Because if you don't fear him, he can't really do anything to you, right? When your father said, clean your room, and you didn't do it, did he come and clean it for you? If he did, you had no fear of your father. If he came back with the belt and said, why didn't you clean your room? And he laid the belt to your hind end, then you thought next time, I fear my father. Did it make you hate your father? No. I was beaten by my father many times in a very disciplined manner for obvious reasons, and I never hated him once for it. I was kind of glared at him for a while afterwards every time, but I understood.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.